wear off quickly, and then where would you be? Jumping at shadows and running for the rest of your life.
My heart became a landmine, just waiting for one more push to explode.
I'm willing to break your past and give you a future you deserve, not the world you were stolen from.
He let me go.
Remember that if you ever get the urge to leave.
Turning around, he stalked toward the lift.
Inform the chef I'll return for dinner, Jolfer.
He didn't give me a backward glance. His words rang like a gong inside my ears. I knew he'd read my notes to no one, but having him talk about my mother, that hurt to the point of destruction. Would Elder find her for me if I asked him? I hadn't even contemplated that he would want me gone eventually. I was the one who wanted to leave, the one who wanted this to be temporary. It messed with my mind to have him admit the same. Elder wrenched to a halt a few meters away, snapping his fingers in impatience.
Yes or no, Pim. Decide right now.
Was there any correct answer? Was I doomed if I did and doomed if I didn't? Either way, the thought of a day in Morocco after a lifetime of England and then white captivity was no choice at all. Striding forward, the sheet rippled around my legs. Elder smiled as I slowed beside him.
We'll see if you made the right choice soon enough.
His strong arm wrapped around me, the hardness of his bicep pressing against my spine. With the tiniest pressure, he corralled me forward into the glassed area where the lift waited. His fingers branded me through the fine cotton. My heart suffered its final push, and the landmine exploded with shrapnel. The pieces fed into my bloodstream, making every breath, twitch, and awareness of Elder pressed agonizing. Whenever he touched me, it was more than just a touch. It was a possession, in every sense of the word. But it was never a threat, and I couldn't unscramble how we could be one without the other. Pressing the button to summon the elevator, he murmured,
I haven't made a fuss of your lack of wardrobe while on Phantom. However, since you're accompanying me on business, it's time you grew accustomed to wearing clothes.
I blanched at the thought of tight clinging material in the Moroccan heat. He'd switched my life upside down, torn everything I'd known into shreds. The air conditioners that dried out my skin and kept me chilled no longer existed on his yacht. The heat was dispersed by natural breezes with open balconies and portals. I'd never stopped to think about why that was, and just how much Elder had studied me. How did he make my knees tremble when he was close? How did he take a normal touch and turn it so weighty and hot and, dare I admit, delicious and not disgusting? I tried to read him as he stared into my face, both of us seeking to whatever riddles the other caused. Straightening my spine, I hugged the sheet tighter in delayed answer to his dressing command. His eyes lingered on my collarbone, dipping to the small amount of visible cleavage.
Do you want to come?
I narrowed my eyes. The way his voice feathered over the word come made it a sexual, not innocent question. He already knew I'd go with him, that despite myself I was excited to see new things and be around people and adventures. He didn't need an answer to his question, especially the sexual connotation. He only wanted me to respond. Fine. Cocking my chin, I sucked on my bottom lip. Two could play at this game, I think. His muscles locked as his eyes became obsessed with my mouth. The power he granted as lust filled his gaze allowed me to step outside my self-imposed rules and nod. Just once. Yes, I want to. He never looked away from the glisten left by my tongue on my lips.
See, replying wasn't so hard, was it?
Hard physically? No. Hard psychologically? Yes. 1,000 times yes, especially when he looked at me as if he was no longer a man, but a ravenous beast with an appetite for mute prisoners.
I like it when you respond.
His voice was ash and rubble. He swallowed hard.
Let's try another question. Do you want to come, or do you want to come?
That isn't a yes or no answer. But I'd keep playing. I'd pretend I was mentally strong enough to flirt, even if the tangled heat he caused couldn't retrain my brain from withdrawing in horror at the thought of his fingers on my breasts, his hands dropping down my body, his cock pushing inside my... I gulped, squeezing my eyes against the lewd pictures in my head. I thought I was strong enough. I'm not. Not yet. Elder sighed heavily as I stiffened in its hold.
For a second, I saw someone I wanted, someone capable of withstanding what I need.
He let me go as the lift chimed and opened wide.
Pity she's gone again.
His words were visible things. Four words, four fingers swatted across my cheek. He told me I was weak before. He told me I was broken. But that was to earn a reaction from me. This, it was just a statement of truth. It ripped out my heart and threw it overboard as chum.
Are you coming?
Elder stepped into the elevator, holding the doors as they tried to close.
Time to dress.
Whatever heat he'd sparked simmered into smarting discord. I held my chin high and stalked into the lift. The doors hissed closed, trapping every unsaid animosity and desire tight around us. Elder exhaled through his nose, his gaze bouncing from the mirror door to mine. Don't say anything. Let me go to my room without another figurative slap in the face. My request went unanswered. He lowered his jaw, watching me beneath his brow. The fact the mirror was a third party, linking our eyes while standing side by side, didn't stop the spiraling heat from rekindling and crackling all over again. He breathed.
Last night was interesting.
I swallowed as his gaze dropped to the sheerness of my sheet.
It erased a few of your walls. We should do it again sometime.
A strange intoxication filled my veins until I swore my blood had turned to wine, filtering through my heart, making it drunk. My knees locked as he bit his lip, the mirror showing every etch of his face, every shadow of his throat and jaw. How much longer would I have to stand in this electrifying torture chamber with him? My nostrils flared as his hand moved to capture a corner of the sheet. He never turned to face me, but his face darkened.
Don't hate me for what I said before. I didn't mean to hurt you.
I bowed my head, not out of respect or acceptance of his so-called apology, but because I couldn't look at him anymore. I couldn't stare into ebony eyes and try to read what he kept hidden. It gave me a headache. Agreeing to go to Morocco is a mistake.
Look at me, Pimlico.
His fingers tugged the sheet, forcing my fist to tighten to keep it in place. My face pointed at the sky with fake bravado, but I refused to meet his eyes.
Christ.
He muttered under his breath. I shook with adrenaline, but not fear. I'd been in his company long enough now not to expect a fist. But I couldn't read him. I couldn't preempt or store whatever it was he was about to do. What is he going to do? His grip on the sheet turned aggressive. Yanking hard, he caught me by surprise, spinning me on my feet like a carousel. The white cotton escaped my broken hand while I held on with my other as tight as I could. But it was no use. Half naked with a sheet draped over one shoulder, I crashed into Elder's arms only for him to turn around and slam me against the mirrored wall. My spine screamed as the bite of coldness activated the humming sensitivity in my body. I gasped as his face twisted into a tortured mask. He breathed hard and harsh, my inhales and exhales in total sync with his as our eyes locked in shock.
God damn it.
Goosebumps broke all over me as his hand suddenly landed on my shoulders, kneading me like a cat. His nose brushed mine as he bowed closer.
What is it about you that I can't ignore? Why do you have this power over me?
I daren't move, even though I couldn't. I didn't know what he meant. The one with the power was him. Only him. He bit his lip again as his fingers trailed from my shoulders to the hem of the sheet covering my left breast. My right was exposed, totally vulnerable to the brush of his chest, just like our midnight swim. I pursed my lips, fighting his control over the rest of my ill-conceived dress.
Let go, Pim.
Ever so gentle, but with a ruthless, lethal command. He tugged. I fought, but he was stronger. My fingers hurt as the rest of the cotton fell away, leaving me naked. I should be glad. I preferred this state. Normally I felt nothing when the air caressed my flesh. Nothing but freedom from suffocation. Only this time. This time with his hungry eyes and the Pinot Noir replacing my blood. I was too hot, too alive, too damn conscious of everything a body could do and everything mine had been forced to endure. My bruises ached. My nipples pebbled. My bones throbbed. But it was nothing compared to my heart. She enlisted that damn traitorous emotion I thought had died the day I was sold. Lust. Damn rotten lust that I wasn't acquainted with and would never ever tolerate. It was a sick, sick emotion. It caused men to buy young girls and break them. It turned rationality into insanity. It ended the lives of so many. Stark fear sprang like a hare as his large hand cut my hip bone, dragging me forward until his cock bruised my belly. He groaned long and low. I closed my eyes, waiting for the snap I knew would come. He'd spoken of giving me time, fixing me, not raping me. I'd begun to trust his promises. I was stupid. This was payment for all he'd done for me. I would shut up, shut down, and deal with it. I could handle it. I'd handled worse.
Look at me,
he ordered. I merely squeezed my eyes tighter and cocked my chin. I kicked the pooled sheet off my feet, balling my hands.
Fuck, you're too brave for your own good.
His fingers curled around my chin, holding me tight, pressing my skull against the mirrors behind me.
Do you have any idea what you do to me, standing there so regal and unbroken, when your body tells a completely different story?
I clamped my lips together, ignoring the fresh throb in my tongue. His mouth skated over mine in a barely there kiss, his breath hot and angry.
I've been able to restrain myself up till now, but every second with you it gets harder and harder.
With a feral growl he pushed away, pressing himself against the other side as the doors chimed merrily, announcing our arrival. The lift swung open. The corridor was empty. Elder stepped out.
Get dressed. Meet me on deck 7 in half an hour.
Before I could collapse under the colossal weight of what had just happened, the door swung closed and trapped me. Morocco suddenly wasn't the playground I'd hoped to play in. It was more of an executioner's holding pen. For the first time, I craved white because white kept me focused on who I truly was. I'd begun to forget. Elder had successfully just reminded me. I won't forget again.
Chapter 21, Elder. You fucked up. You fucked up. You fucked up. The ceaseless mantra echoed in my head with every step. I didn't know why I'd slipped. Why that moment was the moment Pim drove me insane enough to contemplate taking her in the lift. It went against everything I thought I wanted. But fuck me. Having her body wedged against mine had been far too bloody tempting. I had blue balls from trying to be the perfect host. I layered frustration upon frustration, trying to be her counselor, protector, and friend. Who was I kidding? I could never be her friend. I couldn't even be alone with her without doubting I'd have the power not to touch her. Marching faster, dust kicked up around my dress shoes. I traded my flip-flops, as the sun did its best to turn us into jerky. Pim scurried beside me, never looking at me, but exquisitely aware of every move I made. I didn't think she even knew she did it. Knew how her body flowed in accordance to how fast I traveled. How it paused if I slowed. How it swayed to the side if I lifted an arm. It was as if strings connected her to me, and I had full control over making her dance. Had she always been so in tune to others, or had her captivity given her a sixth sense? An innate ability to duck an incoming blow or preempt a threatening kick? Either way, she distracted me, which was not a good thing. I was here to work. I should have left her on the fucking boat. In the time I'd given her to dress, I'd done my best to get myself under control. It didn't work. And when I'd met her on deck 7, where the ramp rested to reach the dock, I had a headache and was in a sour mood. It hadn't improved when Pim arrived in yet another dress far too big for her. The baby blue material hung with navy panels on the contours of her hips, the same hips I'd clutched in the elevator. On a curvy woman, the darker fabric would make her curves pop into an hourglass figure. On Pim, she just looked like a model that had stepped off a runway and had forgotten to eat in decades. At least she had the good sense to bring a large white hat that flopped over one side of her face, keeping her protected from the sun. It also protected her from me. She kept me constantly in her awareness, but never let me catch her eye. She'd returned to the girl I'd met at Ulrich's, the one with a shawl of icy protection beneath the guise of submission, the one who intrigued me so damn much that I practically begged for a night with her. This woman lived with me on my yacht. We slept a deck apart, and she wanted nothing to do with me. Why the fuck did I continue to torture myself? I should get rid of her before I did something I regretted. The idea of removing her from my life before it was too late soothed my mind enough to find peace and concentrate. I ignored my silent guest and paid attention to the city of spices instead. It helped a little, concentrating on other people who didn't have nearly as much power over me as she did. Morocco was exactly as I remembered. Hot, dusty, archaic in its organized chaos. My thoughts normally found sanctuary here, away from its own internal jumble. But that was before I made the idiotic decision to steal Pimlico. The entire drive to the arranged restaurant where we were to meet His Highness, Simo Rayad, she'd peered out the car window, studiously ignoring me. Did she remember sprawling on my lap in that very vehicle as she choked on her blood? Did she remember me hugging her close, whispering I wouldn't let her die, and she was mine now? If she did, there was no sign. Thank God we weren't in the car anymore, because I might have done something I regretted. Just to add to all the rest. Celix strode in front of us, protecting me as he was paid to do. We followed a little alleyway to a quaint beachfront restaurant where bodyguards rested in shadow, leaving the royal family to eat in safety. Entering the airy space with its windowless walls and earthen design, I slipped into Elder Prest, boatbuilder, millionaire, and ruthless businessman. The moment Simo Rayad spotted us, he stood and waved. Celix subtly put his hand on his torso, where his concealed weapon rested, before branching to the left, letting me know he had my back but wouldn't interfere with business. He caught my gaze, raising his eyebrow at Pimlico. Did I want him to take her, or did I want her near me? I'd been trying to decide that since we left Phantom. I was screwed either way. If Celix took her, I'd wonder if she'd call my bluff and run, if she'd vanish before I had a chance to interrogate and sample her. But if she sat beside me, questions would come, and what answers could I give? Who the fuck cares? They're business associates, not confidants. They don't need to know. Straightening my shoulders, I shook my head and took Pimlico's elbow, guiding her away from Celix and toward the table where Simo, his wife, and two young children sat prim and proper. Pim stiffened under my direction, but didn't pull away. Drawing up to the table, Simo's wife smiled demurely, her attention flicking from me to Pim and back again. The kids smiled too, perfect manners for royal offspring. All of them had mocha skin and rich, dark hair, reminding me of a culture different to the Western world, where I'd grown up, even though I had one quarter exotic blood running in my veins.
Ah, we finally meet.
Simo stood, holding out his hand to shake. His turban hid most of his head, and his cobalt three-piece suit was too stuffy for the sticky heat. It's been a long time coming, Your Highness. I placed mine in his, glad to finally meet the man who, on paper, I genuinely liked. Compared to the other assholes I dealt with, he was an innocent puppy dog. However, no one truly knew another, even when living together. I threw a scowl at Pim, our hands unclasped as His Highness grinned.
Please call me Simo, and in turn I hope to call you Elder, or do you prefer Mr. Prest? I grinned, slipping back into the world I controlled. Elder is fine. Pym flinched beside me. Simo glanced at her before giving me his full attention.
In that case, it is a pleasure to meet you, Elder. I hold much regard for a man who makes such exquisite things.
He motioned for me to take the seat next to him, clicking his fingers at a hidden guard to bring another chair for Pimlico.
And who is this stunning creature?
He held out his hand to Pym.
I'm so glad you brought your wife too, Elder. Mine was rather insistent on joining me. I hope you don't mind.
I unbuttoned my blazer in preparation of sitting. Not at all. Such beauty should be shared. I threw a respectful smile at his pretty partner. Although, please excuse the confusion, this is not my wife. She is merely my travel companion, for the time being. Pym caught my eye, her lips thinning. Not looking away, I murmured, "Her name is Pimlico." Her throat worked as she swallowed, a tight lasso of her energy, and mine lashed us together. Would the unwanted connection between us ever go away? Simo leaned forward and captured Pim's unbroken hand. I stiffened with possessiveness, watching what she would do. She barely tolerated anyone touching her, let alone a strange man. She shocked me stupid as she tipped her nose at me and dropped into an effortless curtsy for His Royal Highness. His lips grazed the back of her knuckles.
What the fuck?
What sort of past had she lived to be more comfortable with men with titles than she was with the man who'd saved her?
You are most welcome, my dear. Simo breathed into his chaste kiss.
Pym tucked her chin, a demure smile on her face, taking her hand back once the introduction was complete.
What the hell was that?
Simo motioned to his wife.
This is my beloved Dina.
He beamed with husband pride.
I'm sure she would be grateful for female company and conversation.
Pim's eyes met the woman's. I held my breath, wondering if this was the moment she spoke. She'd slapped me in the face by giving respect to a man she'd only just met. Perhaps she'd claw out my heart by speaking to a woman she didn't know. To hear her voice was a tantalizing thought, even if it would fuck me off. How dare she give that gift to complete strangers rather than me? When I'd told her she could come with me, I hadn't contemplated the idea she would talk, that her tongue would be healed enough to spill my secrets and inform those who should never know that I'd stolen her. That it was fully within my power to free her, but I wouldn't until I got what I wanted. Instead of airing our sinful laundry, she glanced at me, then dropped her gaze. This meeting was already too long, and we'd only just begun. Taking a collected breath, I smiled at Simo and his family, answering on Pim's behalf.
I'm afraid she doesn't speak. She's mute.
Not quite, but it was easier than the truth. Far simpler than to explain her half-severed tongue and the bruises only just beginning to fade beneath her dress. Pym didn't give any outward reaction to my delivery of her condition. If anything, she looked mildly relieved that she could be a voyeur but not participate. Her eyes weren't passive, though. She might be silent, but she wasn't stupid. Her attention flickered between His Highness and his wife, drawing conclusions far too astute for a stolen slave. Watching her watch them gave me a hint of how hard she would be to break. How everything I did, every vowel I uttered, and every syllable I whispered was an armament in her weaponry against me. Christ, will I ever get what I want? Dina nodded at Pym, woman to woman.
I think that's impressive. Not to talk, I mean.
Her voice was sweet and respectful.
Men talk so much these days. I often feel like a mute myself.
Pym gave her a rare smile, letting it reach her eyes, and transforming her from sad wraith to brilliant beauty. Once again, she stole a heartbeat. I glowered at her for such sorcery. Not once had she looked at me that way. Not once had she deemed me worthy of such a gift. My shoulders tensed as anger percolated like rich coffee in my blood. She wanted to punish me, fucking fine. I'm willing to change the rules of this game.
Should we get down to business? Simo asked.
I nodded as two waitresses brought over a tray of local beverages and finger food. Forcing my mind away from Pim and the ideas of how to earn a smile like the one she'd just bestowed, I rubbed at the unwanted tightness in my chest, pulled out my phone, and got to work. 3 hours and multiple revisions to the yacht schematics later, we were done. My back ached from reaching across the table to reveal updated plans. Luckily, my phone had a self-designed software that made it easy to tweak frivolous requests, while important things like water displacement and ballast were all mathematically checked in the background. Pimlico obviously hadn't said a word during the meeting, but she'd struck up a strange friendship with Dina. While Simo and I muttered about incandescent bulbs versus the merit of LED, and argued over what would be the best in the library, Pim never took her eyes off Dina or her children. The kids, sensing a willing victim, kept plying Pim with curried couscous on fresh pita, presented with fingers covered in sauce. Not once did Pim refuse their offering, but she did struggle to eat. Shouldn't her tongue be mostly healed by now? I'd already set a reminder to ask Michaels when we returned home. Home. What an odd concept. After this meeting, I would return home with a girl in tow who was still a total stranger. As the last round of drinks was delivered, Pim's gaze trailed over her shoulder, looking for a washroom. Dina noticed.
They're toward the back.
Pim smiled, standing gracefully. Dina and Samo's eyes tracked over her, noticing things they hadn't when we'd first arrived. The fading bruises, the bandage on her hand, the skinniness of her arms and chest. My hands fisted. Would they think I'd done that? That I was a psychopath who kept girls as pets? Dina narrowed her eyes, judging my relationship with Pim from the small distance between us. Pissed off with her scrutiny, I cocked my head at Celix to escort Pim to the facilities. Not to prevent her from running, but to guard her. In her notes to no one, she said she was sold at a shabby hotel with a masquerade ball. But how was she originally kidnapped? Was the tale true that she was at a charity function with her mother? Or had she been stolen by less refined means? Celix stepped forward to collect her, but Dina stood.
You know, I might go too.
She and Pim shared a smile. What is it with women and joint bathroom visits? Celix caught my eye, asking if he should still follow. I nodded subtly. He could protect from outside the bathroom while the two women protected each other inside. Dina moved toward Pim, then blew her husband a kiss. Simo grinned before turning his attention to the latest amendment to his yacht. Meanwhile, I couldn't tear my fucking eyes off Pim as she padded across the restaurant in her floaty dress and sandals. It was no secret I found Pim bloody stunning. Her nose, her eyes, her chin, her strength. She equaled a beautiful woman. Having the luxury of gawking at her ass and the flamingo-like curve of her spine made me hard.
Women, huh? Simo chuckled. They cause the worst pain and the best pleasure.
I gave a half smile. I wouldn't know.
Oh?
I'm only taking care of her from an unfortunate incident. Simo took a sip of his wine.
I must admit, I was doing my best not to ask who marked her.
I snorted, taking his direction and throwing a mouthful of guava juice down my throat. Wine was not an option. Alcohol had the opposite effect on me than cannabis.
Would you continue to deal with me if I said I was the one?
No.
His face locked into place. But I don't believe you did.
Why?
My eyebrows rose, asking a dangerous question. I already said we aren't lovers, and you most likely have suspicions of my intentions with her.
Why am I having this conversation with a royal?
It wasn't possible I wanted to clear my name rather than be sullied by his opinion. It didn't matter to me.
Simo patted his son's head, who currently had crayon all over the tablecloth.
A man who glowers at a woman the way you do her She's the one hurting you, not the other way around. Words flew from my head. For the first time in forever, I was speechless. Simo continued, I believe there are many kinds of men. My second cousin, the king, is one type, a possession to his beloved country. I am another type, a possession to the woman I married. And then there is you. He looked up, stealing the crayon from his son. I waited for him to continue, but he didn't. Clearing my throat, I asked, And what kind am I? He grinned wisely. You, my friend, are homeless. You are neither owned by a country or a woman. It is a place not many men can survive in for long. Fuck, fuck, fuck. My heart fell into my stomach, hissing with acid. Homeless, familyless. Even Celix, after our years together on the streets, didn't know the truth about me. How had this royal looked through my facade and understood? He waved his hand as if he hadn't just torn apart my fucking life.
I have a question, if I may. It doesn't relate to boat building. His face softened. However, after the personal conversation we just had, I don't think it's too inappropriate to ask.
I ran a hand through my hair. I'd been in control of this meeting, and now I was on the back foot. That had never happened to me, ever. Part of me wanted to tell him to shove his question up his ass, but my lips moved with permission.
Ask. Great.
He opened his arms as his daughter grew tired and climbed onto his lap.
I've heard rumors about you.
My back instantly hardened. There were too many rumors to know which one he'd heard. Some I'd started, some I wanted to end. Most of them were terrible, designed to keep me feared and free.
Oh? I heard you have a gift.
I choked on another mouthful of guava.
Excuse me? A gift. It's why you build impeccable yachts. It's why you're so wealthy. It's why you have many talents, I am sure.
And what gift would that be? His eyes sparkled with curiosity.
Some call it the curse.
Shit.
By the way you stiffened, I'm guessing you might call it a curse too.
I smiled tightly. I don't know what you mean.
I think you do.
Stroking his daughter's black hair, he whispered.
Funny how our minds fixate on things, isn't it?
Ice fell over me like a blizzard.
What are you saying?
He chuckled.
Depends. Show me your hands.
What?
You heard me. Show me your hands.
Simo looked pointedly at where I clutched my glass. I searched for a reason to say no, but couldn't find one. Slowly, I unwound my fingers and presented them palm up. I didn't breathe as Simo reached across and stroked the pads of my fingers of my left hand.
You play.
I coughed. This meeting was over. What the fuck was he doing? Simo held out his own left hand.
Go ahead. It will make you feel easier.
My legs bunched to walk out of the restaurant, but my fingers disobeyed me, creeping across to touch this man in the same way he'd touched me. Calluses and thickened skin, just like mine.
The cello?
My voice barely carried. He nodded.
I've researched you, Elder. I hear you were a prodigy.
How the fuck did he hear that? Memories of a happier time with music, surrounded by my mother, father, and brother. Memories that riddled me with bullets and made me bleed tried to enter my mind. I gritted my teeth, pushing them back. Once. That's over now.
Yet you still play.
He leaned back, cuddling his daughter.
You know, Elder, in my country, we don't label things like the Western world. If one has the tendency to focus until perfection is created, we praise rather than worry. I think all great virtuosos have what you have, and you should not run from it.
What I have?
Sorry, it's not what you have, but what you are.
Changing the subject, Simo smiled.
I wasn't going to tell you this, as it has no reflection on our business together. However, I think after learning what sort of man you are behind your reputations, it can't hurt.
Once again, he put me on the back foot. I fucking hated it. My brain scrambled to catch up from talking to a fellow cellist, finding out he understood what lurked inside me. Now, he wanted to expose yet more revelations? Liquor suddenly held a lure, as did the pull of a joint. Doing my best to keep my voice calm and disinterested, I drawled.
Tell me what?
His gaze darted to the bathroom, obviously wanting to finish this heart-to-heart before the women returned.
I might not be the king, but I have access to everything my second cousin does, including the best private investigators. When my wife and I decided to purchase a yacht, we were meticulous in our research. Your company and product are second to none. But I would never have done business with you based on your reputation and dealings with men who are corrupt beyond comprehension.
I smiled, but it wasn't the cold, boastful smile I perfected when dealing with criminals. It bordered the man I'd been. Normally, that's why business seeks me out.
I figured this much. He lowered his voice. But that's what turned us away. The royal family can't be seen to be dealing with murderers and thieves.
I hid my scowl. What would you say if you knew I was a thief?
So what changed your mind? I asked. Your past.
My past? My voice snapped. What about my past? Rubbing his calloused fingers together, he said,
We are about the same age. I started playing the cello when I was 8, and the music community was small. The world is not a large place when the love of something draws us together.
Once again, memories that had no right to hurt me tried to swarm. My mother bought me my first cello lesson when I was 4. I'd cried when it was over because I never wanted it to end. The next week, my father borrowed money from our neighbors to buy a second-hand cello, so I could play and play and never fucking stop. The strings, the frets, the music. Shit, the notes I could create, it gave me purpose. I'd never been so drawn or so addicted. That was the beginning of the end for me. I'd cursed my entire family because of it.
Simo's voice blew away the recollection. As I worked through my levels, a name kept being mentioned. A boy who would strum for 2 days straight until he'd mastered a song he'd only just heard on the radio, rather than sheet music given by a teacher. I shot upright. I've heard enough.
Simo didn't stop.
My parents would use him as an example if I grew bored of practice. They would say, Why can't you be more like him? Whether he knew it or not, he became widely recognized for being the best, until his death, of course.
I bared my teeth like a cornered animal. Motherfucking shit. I paced away from the table, glaring at him.
Quit while you're ahead. I'm done talking about this.
His shoulders tensed as if to blurt everything I'd tried to keep hidden. Everything I'd covered up. But footsteps sounded behind me, signaling our time together was over. Thank Christ. Relaxing, he smiled.
I don't know what happened or why that prodigy vanished, but I do know your true name, Elder Prest. I know the real man beneath the rumors. That is the man I hired to build my yacht. A man who has been called obsessive, a perfectionist. A man who can't let something go until he rules it. I hired you because I want to keep my family safe, and no one will do a better job because you have no choice but to deliver excellence.
He kissed his daughter's head, standing upright with her small body in his arms.
That is the man worthy of being possessed by either country or woman, not someone who should be alone.
His voice rang in my head. He knows my true name? I hadn't let myself remember for so long. As far as I was concerned, I had no other name. I had no other life, no other existence before this one. My skin crawled to leave. Dina appeared, heading to her husband and children.
The discussions are over so soon.
Yes. I didn't look at her, scooping my phone and notepad off the table and tucking them into my trouser pockets. I've heard everything I need to hear. I glowered at Samo. He looked back with a respectful nod rather than taunting glint. He hadn't told me he knew who I was to intimidate me. I didn't know why he had, but stupidly, I trusted him not to blab. If I didn't trust him, he wouldn't be walking out of this restaurant. Bodyguards or royal blood be damned. Pim drifted to my side, her gaze locked on my face. She tilted her head, sucking on her bottom lip, as if she understood the turbulent anger corroding me. She could fucking look, but until she told me her secrets, she wouldn't be earning mine. Simo hoisted his daughter to his hip, holding out his hand.
It was nice talking to you, Elder. We should share our love of music again sometime.
I snorted, unwillingly shaking his palm. There won't be a next time.
Perhaps, he smiled. But you will email over the new blueprints once the amendments have been drawn up?
I straightened my back. After everything you just revealed about me, do you doubt it? The little boy, jealous of his sister in his father's arms, wrapped his arms around Dina's leg, blinking sleepily.
Simo chuckled. You are right, my friend. You will because I know who you are.
Pim sucked in a breath beside me, no doubt reading into Simo's sentence incorrectly. She thought she knew me. She thought all I wanted was to fuck her and dispose of her.
That's what you want her to believe. And it was what she would continue to believe. Because it's the goddamn truth.
Bowing slightly at Dina, I murmured. Pleasure to meet you. I promise your yacht will have everything you require and more.
Thank you, Elder.
She hugged her son's head to her thigh.
If you're ever in Morocco again, please let us know, and we'll arrange a tour of our wonderful city.
You're very kind. Bracing myself, I grabbed Pim's elbow and steered her away from the table. We'll remain in touch via email. Until then, have a good afternoon.
Goodbye, Elder.
The Royal Highness and his family exited through the back of the restaurant, away from the public eye. Celix fell in step with me and Pim. She had no choice but to move as I guided her to the exit. Restaurant shadows steadily brightened as we traded fan-disturbed air for hot, sticky noon. The doorway wasn't wide enough for both of us to pass. I pushed her ahead of me, clenching my jaw against the mottled bruises still decorating the top of her shoulders. The beads of her spine were too pronounced beneath her dress, still too stark and crying of an unhappy tale. My hands balled in rage. After the meeting from hell and knowledge that someone other than me and my mother knew who I truly was, I wasn't in the mood to be gentle. I wished Ulrich was still alive. I'd fucking kill him all over again for what he'd done to Pim and for my own black satisfaction. Having his marks on her drove me insane. Seeing her malnourished and unhappy, while belonging to me, made me criticize the very reason why I'd got involved with her in the first place. I need to do better. I was someone who cared about perfection. When had I forgotten that and twisted perfection into an obsession I could no longer handle? I needed her healthier, happier if I was to earn whatever it was I wanted. The hard part was I still didn't know what I wanted, or why I kept up this farce when she only complicated my life. Pim raised her head to the cloudless sky, letting the sun decorate her face. She inhaled the scent of dust and dung from camels tethered nearby. For a fleeting second, I saw the girl she'd been before she'd been sold. I saw how she could look if I fucking let her go, and... No, she would never be that innocent or happy again. No matter if she was with me or the mother I couldn't track down. Such hardship and evil she'd endured marked someone forever. Sure, she'd find pockets of happiness, tucked away in the overalls of life. But most of the time, those memories would steal her back, reminding her time and time again what she could never run from. I knew because that was my life, and it fucking sucked. Her head tilted until her eyes met mine. The rare freedom on her face vanished.
smothered beneath distrust and wariness. Taking a step toward the black car that had brought us here, Celix dashed in front to open the door for her. I stalked behind, never removing my eyes as she gathered her long dress and slipped into the shaded leather interior. The thought of returning to the ship so soon didn't entice me. Even that rarity pissed me off. Normally, I couldn't wait to run from crowds and chaos. However, nothing called to me to return. The only thing that did was locked in a secure box with its bow freshly strung, ready to play. I hadn't created music since Pym stepped on board. Solving a different problem in my stowaway had buried the itch. If we returned to the Phantom, Pym would vanish to her runes. I would vanish to mine, and we would be right back where we started before I dragged her outside. No. What do I want from you, girl? And why can't I decide how to take it? Get out. I marched forward, yanking the door from Celix as he moved to close it. Pym looked up in shock. We're walking back.
But sir...
Celix cleared his throat.
It's height of the day, the heat.
Don't care. It's only a few kilometers to the port. I want some exercise. Celix wisely kept his mouth shut and didn't mention we'd exercise together this morning in the martial arts gym a few decks below. He'd favored crescent knives. I'd wielded a katana sword. It had been fun. Pym glanced from my bodyguard back to me, her eyes widening. I held out my hand like a gentleman, battling the urge to yank her from the car and drag her to my side. If Pym was ever going to be strong enough to give me what I wanted, she had to start making decisions and take responsibilities for those decisions. Perhaps that's what's missing? She's never been given a choice, not by me or Ulrich. Chances are, not even by her own mother. I'd given her a choice this morning to come with me. The least I could do was give her another. I'm walking. You're welcome to join me. I closed my hand, dropping it to my side. Or you can drive back with Celix. Her mouth parted, searching for a trap. Celix stood calmly, his black top knot glistening in the hot sun. A few seconds ticked past. Sweat tickled my back beneath my jacket. Shrugging the linen off, I threw the blazer past Pym to sprawl on the back seat. The muggy air on my white t-shirt didn't really help, but I couldn't be asked wearing more clothes than what was needed. I suddenly had a small understanding for Pym and her aversion. If she'd been trained to accept nakedness as her uniform, how hard would it be to go back to the confines of elastic and thread? My patience stretched thin. Are you coming or not? Facing away from the car, I took a step toward the bustling street, where street vendors hid under the shade of their cart sails, and shopkeepers did their best to keep away flies and ragamuffins. Pym bit her lip, her hands splayed on the car leather. The anxiety on her face from being forced to choose made my gut clench. There is no right or wrong answer here, Silent One. You return to the boat either with Celix or with me. I won't hurt you for choosing. Still, she didn't decide. Fine, I'll make it for you. Go back to the boat with Celix. You're probably still too weak to walk that far anyway. The moment I spoke, she leapt from the car, hiding her wince from sore knees. Keeping her head high, she came to my side as if daring me to call her weak again. I'd probably get my ass kicked by Michaels when we boarded in a few hours, berating me for dragging his patient through grungy streets, but I couldn't hide my grin as I struck off with her glued to my shadow. Fair enough. Let's walk.
Chapter 22. Pimlico. What was this new game? What were the rules? How should I act, behave, or respond? There were so many unfinished games between us, I was lost on how to continue. For 15 minutes I kept pace with Elder's long stride as we headed toward the dock. Cafes and shops bustling with people, with families and loved ones. People who had their own burdens to bear slowly blocked the sea view. Had one of them been kidnapped? Did they share a story similar to mine, or was I an anomaly here, just like I would be if I ever returned home? Elder kept glancing at me, but he didn't speak, letting silence weave us together instead. If he was trying to use quietness against me, he wasn't successful. Ever since we'd walked into that restaurant, I'd been hyper-aware of everything about him. For 3 hours he sat and answered every question with fluid intelligence and grace. He wasn't just a business owner who barricaded himself in a seafaring tower and let minions do the work. He was the business. My mouth had parted multiple times when technical terms and complex mathematical calculations were given in mere seconds of being asked. With his attention on Dina and her husband, I was free to watch, to listen, to understand. Finally, I'd had enough time to use the meager skills my mother had taught me on how to read body language and find out I'd been wrong about him. I'd seen him as a single-dimensional, arrogant bastard who pursued me for his own gain with just enough decorum to be respectful to those who worked for him. Oh my God, I was so wrong. He wasn't just multifaceted. He was layers upon layers of hypocrisies. The outer shell he wore, roguish and suave, had holes enough to glimpse into the veiled worlds beneath. And in those worlds were shadows holding such pain. He thought he kept it hidden as he studied schematics and blueprints with His Highness. But I saw how he never took his eyes off the way Dina cuddled closer to her husband, or how the two children leaned together in sibling bond. He ached. It was a physical thing. He craved. It was a visible thing. I saw so much while enjoying the luxury of sitting quiet and undisturbed. But why did he covet a family when he was a bachelor of his own devices, surrounding himself in water and horizons? Why did he look at children, not as a man who was desperate for his own, but with nostalgia, heralding the ghosts of perhaps a brother or sister he missed? Despite myself, I thawed toward him. But I didn't fully let go of my dislike until the second course of our luncheon. The switch inside me happened when Elder sketched a third amendment to the drawings and laughed real and carefree when the little girl swatted her brother for snapping a crayon and gave her his expensive biro to replace it. The moment stretched a tad too long. He'd frozen, remembering a different time. He didn't shutter his eyes enough to hide the agony resounding inside. He was no longer just Elder, my savior and captor. He was so, so much more. And it hurt because I wanted to know how deep that more went. It seemed I wasn't the only one. Whatever conversation occurred while Dina and I were in the bathroom had stripped Elder down to his bare defenses. He no longer had a swagger or a solid footing in whatever persona he'd created. He'd suffered a trip down memory lane and somehow left pieces of himself behind when he returned to the present. I wished I'd been there to listen, a spider in its web, catching the puzzle pieces like fat, juicy flies. However, I wouldn't trade my own bathroom conversation, because Dina had done for me what Simo had done for Elder. She'd woken me up, giving into the lull of waking in hot sunshine and enjoying the dusty grit on my feet after too long of being pristine and undirty. I recalled the first chat with a woman in 2 years. "How are you enjoying our country, Pim?" Dina escorted me into the bathroom, her eyes warm and kind. The moment the door shut, blocking us from Selek standing guard, I tensed for those eyes to leave mine and lock onto my bruises. Self-consciousness brought my arms up, wrapping tight around my waist. Did she know what I was? Did she come to the washroom to interrogate me and somehow get Elder into trouble? For a brief second, I wondered if she might have started as slave to His Royal Highness, but the idea was hilarious as well as preposterous. Anyone could see the love they shared. I certainly could, and Elder definitely could. He hadn't taken his gaze off them even when it looked as if he was sketching a quick design. Being with a man joined only in the worst circumstances of captivity and death, it prickled my skin to be surrounded by a family who cherished each other. They were by far the richest people I'd ever met, and not because they were a prince and princess. I think that's their title, being cousins to the crown, but because of what they shared. No one cherished me, or at least for the right reasons. I must admit, it's weird to ask questions and not earn a response. Dina placed her purse on the terracotta-colored vanity. Excuse me if I prattle on. I smiled and broke yet another of my rules. I shrugged, shaking my head to put her at ease. I hated how easy such a response was, how freeing communicating could be if I just stopped doubting everyone and began to trust again. I'll be right back. Dina opened a stall and disappeared. I followed suit, and after we'd done our business, we smiled at each other in the mirror as we washed our hands in the double sink. The tepid water wasn't refreshing in such stagnant heat, but at least we were clean. Fantasies of jumping in the ocean with Elder tonight made the bathroom splutter, as if I could step through a veil of time and return to moonlight and salt, rather than stay in a bathroom in the middle of the day. How long has it been? Dina flicked remaining droplets off her fingers and reached for a towelette.
Since you've talked, I mean.
I tensed. I could lift up two fingers and give her an answer, but I wasn't ready. I shrugged again. I'd already broken that barrier. It was easy to repeat.
Do you miss it? Being able to converse and demand answers to whatever you're thinking.
Turning off the tap, I swallowed and moved my tongue, testing how easy or hard it would be to give this woman my voice and just get it over with. I'd forgotten what I sounded like, and how it felt to have sound resonate through my throat. And if I did break my cardinal rule, what would I say to her? Would I tell her about Ulrich? Would I ask her to help me? Would she laugh when I said Elder had saved me, but at the same time prevented me from going home? Would she take me away from Elder, and if she did, how would I feel about that? After watching him today, I was hesitant to speak badly of him.
What am I saying?
She held up her hands. I'm so sorry for being nosy. I don't even know if you could ever talk. I never thought it might be a thing you've dealt with since birth. Forgive my ignorance. Opening her purse, she pulled out dusky pink lipstick. Painting her lips, she put the lid back on.
Changing the subject. Let's talk about that man out there.
I froze. What about him? She smiled softly.
You do know he cares about you.
Frost worked on my freeze, turning me rigid.
He does?
No, you're mistaken. He tolerates me. That's all. She couldn't mean Elder, but there was no other man, apart from her husband, and technically he did care. He'd saved me, killed for me, set me up with everything my body needed to heal. She patted my hand, still locked on the tap.
You're new to one another, aren't you?
I blinked. I remember those first days with Sima. It's terrifying but thrilling,
don't you find?
Terrifying, yes. Thrilling. I haven't thought about it. Elder did thrill me, but it wasn't a happy thrill from passing a feared exam or surviving a crazy roller coaster. This thrill was entirely different. I just didn't know if it was from adrenaline of wanting to run away, or needing to run closer so I could understand. Treat that man right, and he'll do the same in return. Dina removed a comb from the side of her head and repositioned it to scoop a cascade of black hair from her face. That's what today's society has forgotten. Seeing her beautify an already beautiful face prompted me to stare hard at myself in the mirror. The shadows under my eyes were more grey than black, thanks to regular meals. My hair held a tentative shine as if wanting to return to glossiness but still afraid. And my collarbone still stuck out, but at least my arms weren't as gaunt. Was I pretty? No, not really. But I was a survivor, and I wholeheartedly accepted the girl before me, because she was the first stepping stone back to health. Copying Dina, I combed my fingers through my hair and rubbed my skin to rid the heat shine on my forehead and chin. Closing her purse, Dina said,
"From a 15-year married woman to a girl in a new relationship, let me give you one word of advice."
I sucked in a breath, my hands twisting my hair and draping the coiled mess over my shoulder. "Treat him right, because men respond to praise. If they know they've done well, they want to try harder. If they see how happy they make you, they'll do more to keep you that way. Don't belittle them and never, ever blame them for things that aren't their fault. Even if things that are their fault, give them some slack. You make them sound like a dog." She turned, giggling. "I didn't exactly make that point eloquently. They aren't an animal. Well, sometimes they can be." Her eyes twinkled. Simo is the public speaker, not me. All I mean is I see the way he looks at you and the way you look at him. There is suspicion there, but interest, too. She headed toward the door. No matter what happens, never hold grudges. Grudges are the worst things in life. No matter if that grudge is justified. It's the poison that kills entire cities. Even if I could talk, I wouldn't have known what to say to that. Instead, I trailed behind her and returned to the man she said cared for me.
Are you okay?
Elder's voice interrupted my daydreaming, wafting away Dina as if she were a whiff of incense. His exotic aftershave tantalized my nose, buying into the analogy. I squinted at his height, vaguely making out the dragon tattoo on his chest beneath the white cotton wrapped around his torso. He narrowed his eyes as if wondering where my mind had gone and dying to ask. But he wouldn't. He knew by now he wouldn't get an answer. Pointing at my legs, he grumbled.
Are you tired? Do you hurt? Should I call for the car?
I hadn't even noticed the slight ache in my hips from walking after so long of being huddled in a ball. I didn't feel the burn of a freshly formed blister from the slightly too big gold sandals. Even the throb in my knees and tongue couldn't steal what this day meant to me. The only thing I did notice was how bright the sun was, and how I'd stupidly left the hat I'd commandeered this morning in the restaurant. Whoops. Would he punish me for that? Would he even notice? Today had started off terrifying with Elder stripping me in the lift, but it had ended in female company and sunshine, and he could never take that away from me. Whatever minor discomforts I suffered was nothing compared to the pricelessness of such an adventure. However, the longer we were in public, the stronger Ulrich hovered in my mind, his ghost doing its best to scare me by making me suspect the men walking by. I jolted from raised voices and winced when shopkeepers raised their arms to tote their wares. All mundane things, but in them I saw a torturer, a scream and abuse. I was happy. I was nervous. It was a constant battle to stay in the moment. But for the first time, I actually wanted to be present. Not on the future where I was safe with my mother and friends. Not on a police building about to inform the world of the QMB and begin the tirade on saving the women I'd been sold with. I wanted to be here. With Elder. He huffed when I didn't respond, growling with impatience.
Michaels gave me a report on your healing last night.
He glanced away, his attention landing on a young boy running across the street with a scruffy dog on a piece of string.
He said the stitches will begin to dissolve soon, that your tongue is well on its way to normalcy.
I kept pace beside him, neither agreeing nor disagreeing.